listening to Nuts of Life from Asteroid G, seeing our future and failing to do anything about it. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, gonna Rube Goldberg his way through another death-defying movie, because we're gonna talk some Final Destination Bloodlines, am I right?
Specifically that, although I don't mind talking a little about the previous movies, because I don't think we've really talked about them too much.
Like, we haven't, yeah.
I don't watch them very often. They're quote-unquote slasher, although they're not, but they are. They don't have a monster, but they kind of do. It's like the unseeable force of death that just kind of guides everything, which it's at least different. I mean, credit to New Line Cinema for something different. But I consider it a slasher only because there's no other definition of it. It's not really a demonic force or a ghost or anything. It just kills people without really existing.
Yeah. So, I can buy that. I see that.
I liked the first Final Destination when it came out. I thought that movie was pretty interesting. It was malicious about what it did. It has a slightly different mythology to like everything that's come out since. But you could also tell that from that movie forward, they really didn't know how to make a series that didn't just repeat the same elements over and over again.
They really didn't. And the first one and second one I've seen quite a bit. 3, 4, 5. I've maybe seen a once or twice here. The first one's very good. It was kind of like, it was just so different. You never saw anything like it. Like, if Michael Myers is the shape, then, like, you know, just the force, I guess, would be whatever this is. Or maybe this is the midichlorians coming back to get us or something. Like, who knows? But
it's all sheer happenstance until that kid is in the bathroom getting ready and the trail of water turns and follows him. And you're like, okay, it's not just like random chance. This is a force coming after him, which is funny. Like, it was really funny. Like, just how over the top the kills were.
And, you know, you've said it, and I kind of stole your line, the Rube Goldberg of death. Because it's so true. And, like, when I was talking to my wife about the most recent one, I was describing to her some of the deaths in it, and I was like, literally, this is what it is. And, like, you know, and shout out to Mike for coming up with this. I can't steal it. I like it, but it's very true. You know, this to this to this to cause this. And that's the whole kind of premise of it. You know, nothing stops death. Death finds a way, just like life finds a way. And if death had you marked, then you're marked and you can't escape it.
The first film is great, but it also set a bad precedent, I want to say, for the whole series as a whole. Because it originally was supposed to end with a couple of the characters surviving. And then because the test audience didn't like one of the characters surviving and they were really annoyed about how everything played out, the ending was reshot and the happy ending was taken away, and essentially it implied everyone dies. Now, you don't see it that time around, and in fact, one of the characters survives to the second film to then, spoiler, die. And the second film, in my opinion, is trash. The kills are good, but the story is awful.
Story shit.
So bad. But it set a bad precedent, so that in every movie basically since then, someone always dies at the end, and it's usually everyone that survived. I think the second one is the only one where anyone survives and comes away, and then they die off-screen in the third film. Everyone dies. And that's a bad precedent to set, because, like, the whole point of a slasher movie is that someone gets out. Sure, they might die in the next film. Like, the Freddy series had, like, they'd introduce a heroine, and then they die in their next film, so that the next heroine can pick it up, like, 1 to 3 to 4 to 5 and so forth. And that's fine. You don't have to survive everyone. But you should survive your own movie. And these films don't let that happen.
They don't. And like you said, you get the survivors here and there. But, you know, they die in the next movie. Or you think they're going to make it out and then they die at the end. It was the shock value, I guess, they were kind of going for at the end there. Like, you know, you think they make it out and, like, they all come together, but, you know, spoiler alert for a 25-year-old movie, they don't.
Yeah.
It also led to some unfulfilling deaths, like you said, stuff off screen that happened. Like, I wanted to see that character bite it in the movie.
Yeah. So, like, one kills almost everyone on screen. Three, which I actually kind of like, although it's because I like Mary Elizabeth Winstead and I think she's a decent actress, and I don't understand.
She's good.
I don't understand why she's in this shitty movie. But, like, she and her character's sister and her ex-boyfriend all are magically on the same train, and the train derails and they die. And then the fourth movie, the three survivors end up at a diner together somehow, and they die. And then the fifth movie, which, honestly, in most ways, the only... and they all die ending I'm going to accept, is shows itself to be a prequel, spoiler, where the two survivors end up on the plane from the first movie, spoiler, and then they die while the survivors of the first movie escape, big spoiler. And it's just this thing of like, okay, I'll accept that, but again, all you've done is everybody dies. And I hate that.
I get it. Yeah, that's insanely frustrating when that happens. Yeah. You know,
why did we bond with these characters if you're not going to let any of them get out of this fucking trap?
Yeah, that's fair.
The whole rule of a final girl is that you have a final girl. Give us someone.
Yeah, maybe that's why they wanted to be different in this kind of franchise here, because there is no final girl or final guy. It's just the final destination. Ooh.
I just find it unfulfilling, because I'm enjoying the movie up to a point, especially with this new one, which we're about to talk about. I'm enjoying it up to a point, and then, spoiler, when they kill everyone, which they do again in this movie, I'm like, then what the fuck was the point of anything?
I mean, the point is, the lesson is that death is undefeated, I guess. And you are never going to escape death.
Well, it's like this new movie, Final Destination Bloodlines, which I did enjoy for most of its runtime. If I'm going to bitch about things, some of the CGI was very obviously CGI, and I really wish they would have done practical effects for some stuff instead. Like, some of it's really not good looking, but on the whole, like, I thought the special effects were pretty good. I thought the kills were fantastic. I liked a lot of the characters, the whole story. And it starts with their grandmother, back when she was in her 20s, being a witness at what could have been a horrific restaurant accident, because it's like a restaurant on top of a tower, that would have killed hundreds of people. But thanks to her immediately acting, everyone was saved and no one died that day. But then over the course of like 60 years, something like that, death slowly comes along and not only picks off the people that should have died at the restaurant, but then because it takes so long for death to kill everyone, which is a surprise because death is usually super efficient, it then kills off all of their kids and grandkids and anyone that was related to them that got born that shouldn't have, because they should have died in this building collapse and fire and meat grinder and everything else. And it finally comes for the grandmother, who would have been one of the last people to die. And because she decides to prove a lesson to her granddaughter that death is coming for them all, she lets death kill her. Good job there, Granny. And then everyone in her family slowly gets picked off one by one, which is an interesting idea. I love the idea. I loved the execution. I hate the ending.
Yeah, the ending was kind of interesting, but like that scene with the grandmother got me. You know, there were some funny deaths early on, you know, like when the one kid bites it in the beginning with the piano. I'm like, thank God that little fucker
that
got
fucker
it. And like
you knew
right away, like when the cop is like, don't take money out of there, that's bad. Like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I'm like, oh, that little fuck is gonna be a problem. I could tell.
Oh yeah. I was satisfied. In fact, if the movie had revisited him as adult and had him get crushed by a piano again, I would have still been satisfied.
Yeah, that would have been great. But like the grandma, like I guess it just shows how bad death wanted her is what got me and made me laugh so hard, because like she steps onto like the thing to come outside after the grand order to try to like stop her so that she can give her the book, and like, you need to take up the mantle of going and saving our family now. And like, you see deaths all around her, and like everything she sees is death. So she takes it, she walks out there, and death was just waiting till the right second for the grand order to step back, and seeing is believing, bap, and she's dead. And I'm like, that's fucking, I lost it. I started cracking up laughing. I couldn't stop. It was just too funny. It was too perfect.
It was shocking but funny and expected, because it was there. Like, they queued it up. Some of the deaths that followed were good, sometimes marred by CGI, but good. Yeah. I liked the one faint where the one guy should have died and then doesn't, and it's like almost hilariously more over the top that somehow he survived when obviously he should just be dead. Yeah, but you're like, death was like, no, I'm not for you yet, which is like, since when have you been so picky, death? Like, you'll kill random people anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't his time, and you know, spoiler about how he's not part of the family. Like, my gosh, but then why does he die anyway? Mess with death, thing gets messy. Like,
it's reinventing rules in ways that don't really make sense. But it did lead to a good death, so I didn't necessarily care. But we build to that whole final sequence where,
right.
And I have multiple issues with this. So big spoilers if you haven't seen the movie. And this is one of those ones where really, if you are planning on it or you do care about the fact that we are going to spoil stuff, this might be a point where you go watch the movie, then come back to the podcast.
Yeah. But yeah. Don't listen to this. This is big spoilers.
Yeah. The huge, biggest spoilers, like spoiler on spoiler while Snape killed Dumbledore. The college student girl that we're following, whose name I don't care because she's disposable.
Stephanie.
Thank you. She has saved her brother. He revives her after she, quote unquote, dies by drowning. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to reset things, and they're supposed to both be safe.
And then,
like, we discover later, oh, it doesn't really count as a revival because she wasn't truly dead because they didn't have to revive her heart, which is not a rule we've had before in this franchise anyway. That's just, okay, so death is not only going to be pedantic, but also split hairs now. Like, my God, man, what is your limit on this? And then death decides via the same penny that for some reason the grandmother decided to keep, this unlucky fucking thing she should have returned to a fountain, which, unrelated, it would have been funny if after everything happened, it then rolled into a fountain. That would have been the part that we needed. Like, that doesn't happen. I'm like, that's a waste of potential.
But, we got that in the vision. We got it in the vision. I was like, that is hilarious. But then I saw the, I'm like, is that the same fucking penny?
Yeah.
Why do you have that?
But so the penny improbably, like, I'm not sure this could actually happen at all, causes a train derailment. And the train goes sliding through a whole residential neighborhood and kills the two people that have finally survived. Kills them in gory fashion. The kills themselves have been in my head. Like, those are over the top and fantastic. But not only does it kill the two people that we spent this whole movie trying to save, which undercuts the whole story. Like, the grandmother could have just let everyone die at the fucking restaurant to begin with. Why did we have to have any of this?
Yeah. What was the point?
That's the problem with this. What's the point of any of this? But also, to kill these two people, death just murdered how many dozens or hundreds of people on the train and in the housing development, everything else to get to these two people. You didn't seem to want to kill people when it wasn't their time before. Why are you so gung-ho for it now?
He really wanted them fucking kids to die.
Yeah! And it's like, death's rules in these films only matter when it's convenient to death.
You know, and it's funny because, like, doesn't this call into question then the survivor that they even call out from the second movie, who is the one person to cheat death by dying just like this and being brought back and being fine?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden that doesn't work.
So that doesn't count.
It's like the fucking Zac Efron meme right there. Like, was I dead? I mean,
it's like the genie from Aladdin when Aladdin gets away with something once, and then the genie's like, okay, but we're not doing that again. And you're like, death is like, I let you get away with it with drowning, but this bitch over here, no, she can't get away with that. Her wish doesn't count. Like, really? Yeah. What the fuck?
Death was truly pissed off that Grandma Iris stopped that, like, cataclysm that was at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, his masterpiece right there, and he was so mad. These fucking kids gotta go.
But okay.
Because that bitch.
But that's also the thing of, like, how many people does he kill in this movie? I didn't do an exact body count, but if we think about it.
Oh, man.
He gets, like, 8 or 9 people from this family in less than a week. They said, I think they gave us an exact figure, but she saved, like, 100 people at the restaurant. So,
something like that, yeah.
In a week, he killed 9 people, and it took 60 to kill 100.
Like, I mean, they had family, and then their family had family, and then it comes by the, it's like the thread, man. They go all the way back to the beginning of the thread, and it started with Iris, because she was the last person to die. So I get it, but boy, did he pick up his pace.
Yeah, and that's the thing. She's like, there was a lot of people he had to kill. It took him some time to do it. And I'm like, okay, but this dude just, like, knocked off an easy dozen here in, like, a week and a half. And you're telling me he couldn't come for all these other people? Like, it's the 1960s. We're not living in caves here. Come on.
Yeah,
and I mean, even then, if they were living in caves, they would have just been spontaneously mauled by bears. Like, you're telling me it took him 60 years to kill this 100 people when he can knock off a baker's dozen in a week and a half? I have my doubts.
He was focused, man. Death had you taken care of everyone else in that. He was focused at that point.
He was toying. And this is, again, the problem of, is Death really motivated? Is Death upset when you defy his plan? Or is Death just going, tee-hee-hee, let's have some fun this time? Like,
this felt like the fun time for Death.
Yeah, I don't. Back to our starting point. He's a presence. So that means he has to have specific rules because we don't see them. If it was Michael Myers who was like, these people should have died in this thing, I'm going to kill them one by one. I accept it sometimes taking 60 years for him to kill every single person in their family and everyone else. But when you're a magical presence that can just kill two people in the span of 3 minutes, like we see happen multiple times here, doesn't work the same way. And then you start defying the rules, and then it means that your rules don't matter, and the whole groundwork of the series is cut out.
Maybe that's kind of the point at the end of this. You know, maybe this is where series just ends and this is the end because everybody's dead again and death really had a plan this time around. Like, I don't know. It's sad because maybe it should.
Oh, it should. Yeah. I mean, I liked this film a lot for what it was. And
it was a fun movie and it was gory as shit.
I thought the story building, the world building, this whole idea that there's a 60-year thing was really cool, right up until the point where the movie was like, nah, but it doesn't fucking matter. None of it matters. Because if they had just left Stephanie and the kid alive, they could have pulled this trick again where someone else survives a thing, and then, like, they look up this old lady online and see that she had a book, and they start writing a book, and we see them over the course of, like, a decade, like, studying and figuring it out. Then death starts coming for everyone that they saved, and they start trying to work out this plan. And that would matter, because there'd be a chance they could save people. But by having Stephanie and her brother die at the end, all it does is says, doesn't matter if you have a plan, doesn't matter how elaborate everything is, you're all going to die, so why care?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. Like, I thought that it was kind of funny at the end how everybody, it was just ending there and everybody dies, and like, that was it, this is going to be the end of the movie. Hearing that they're going to bring more of this back is disappointing.
The seventh is in works, yep.
It's disappointing, honestly, because, like, I would have been fine with this ending here, and, like, I think it could have been a fine ending for the franchise. You took what was one of the bigger mass premonition deaths of the series, I think, right, in the beginning. Biggest, I think that's the most people dying. So, like, how can you get any – what are you going to do? Like, I don't even want to say what just came to my mind, but, like, what else are you going to possibly do
Did you think somehow someone prevented, like, 9/11 from happening or something?
Sure did.
That was exactly where my mind –
Sure did. And I was like, you know, I'm not even going to say that.
I don't think we should say this. No, I agree with you.
Coming up on the 24-year anniversary of that tomorrow, my goodness.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But, like, I mean, like, right? Like, what else are we going to do here?
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. Everyone said when Final Destination 5 came out and it proved itself to be a prequel loop to the first film, well, there's nowhere else we can go with this series. It's done. And then it lay dormant for a decade. And then this one came out and it had a big idea. And the big idea was great. And now they're like, oh, well, this one was hugely successful. Set records for the franchise, set records for certain types of slashers and so forth. Cool. Mm. Good. But now you're going to do a seventh one, and we're all going, okay, now, again, where the hell do you go from here? You just went as big and as bloody as you possibly could, short of doing something crass and tasteless, like saying, well, they didn't, and they actually prevented 9/11. Wasn't there was like one love story with Robert Pattinson where like the star-crossed lovers try to get together and break up and try to get together, and then finally they on a phone call they decide they're gonna get together, and then you realize that he's in the World Trade Center right before
it's
like that's crass and tasteless, so let's not do that. But short of that, like, what do you do a Final Destination set in like Pompeii or something? Like, where does this go?
I don't know, like, you know, the Chicago fire of the 1900s or like the earthquake in San Francisco. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And don't start getting into real life kind of shit. This had an eerie feel toward like some of the shit like on the West Coast, like in Seattle, like the Needle and stuff over there. So this restaurant kind of looked like some of those buildings. Like, let's enjoy the movies for the supernatural wonder and horror gore fest that they are. And let's not. Because what else are you going to do besides bring it a little closer to home to up the aim? And, and you don't need to get real with it. It's funny enough and gory enough as it is.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I like this for what it is. If this had been the only movie in the franchise, I probably would be fine with it. If they would have said, this is the last one, and then they killed everyone, I'd be fine with it because it's the last one. But knowing that this is just going to keep going, I'm going to continue being irritated by the fact that I like these movies up to a point, and then they ruin the one rule of a slasher movie I'm never going to let go of, which is give us a fucking final girl so we can care at least a little about the previous hour and a half that just happened.
Yeah, and I mean, you're 100% right there, because why are we getting so attached to these characters and rooting for them? Like, you know, some of them are going to bite it, and mm-hmm. you're kind of rooting for some of them to bite it at the same time.
Yeah.
But you want a couple people to make it, because then the audience feels good about that. There's payoff. But if everybody fucking dies, you fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me six times. Fuck you, dude. Like, I'm done.
It's why I can go back and watch the first one, because that ending is ambiguous enough that you don't think that everyone dies. And so you care a little. Like, there's a final guy, a final girl. That's kind of fine. I can't go back and watch 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 for anything except the kills, because you know everyone dies, and I just don't care anymore. I get you're all right. The rug keeps getting pulled out from underneath me, and every time I'm like, "Oh, you're not gonna fool me again," and then they fool me again. I'm like, "Fuck! Why did I watch this again?" I'm Charlie Brown watching the football from Lucy at this point. Yeah,
I mean, they pulled the fast one on us 14 years later. I'm just looking up. 2011 was Dawn of the Nation 5, and this came out 14 years later. Maybe we got soft and forgot. Like, I don't know.
We did. I wasn't expecting them to kill everyone again. And again, the kill is good. It is a fantastically over-the-top kill. I don't want to sound like I'm being contrarian about this. But kill one of them. Like, let's say the death of the sister did count. Like, she died and then was revived. She is now out of the loop. But death could be like, well, but your brother.
Yeah,
and, like, he could die from the log, and she could, like, the logs could split around her, and she's left there shuddering, and then credit roll. And you're like, okay, I accept this. Now she's got the premonition, and maybe she... save someone else before she dies in the next film. That would have been fine. Mm-hmm. Just give me someone.
Yeah, and we'll see. Maybe the sixth one starts out and we do have Stephanie back, and the Vision came back and they got away before this happened.
Oh, I would hate that more.
I would hate that even more.
Yeah, I would don't retcon your previous film to bring your character. No.
I mean, plot armor is a thing in these universes, right? Oh, I mean, the dude from... the most recent Scream movies, the one
God
brother.
Him. The brother.
Will not fucking died, no matter
dude
what.
Dude should have died
him.
4 times in 2 movies. It's so stupid.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If he doesn't die in this next one, I'm pissed.
Fucking Meeks kid. I get you. I get you. Anyway.
Yeah. One more thing I want to point out, too, is just the insanity of the deaths at the end with how fucking fast this train is going through a residential neighborhood too.
There
is a 0.0% chance that any OSHA regulation was followed there, because there's no way a train is allowed to go that speed that close to a residential area, because exact thing will happen.
I think, especially because it was coming around a curve, I think it's not allowed to go faster than 25 might even be too much. I think it might be 15 miles an hour. So if it does derail, it just kind of emoji shrugs and topples over.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever been on the train to New York City, right? And you're going up New Jersey Transit, Amtrak, whatever, to New York, there's a point where you get where there's a pitch and you're turning and you literally are angled. You're going very slow and you think damn, we're going too slow. I'm gonna tip over. But no, to your point, going that slow is keeping you from tipping over and turning like that.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. Yeah, that was just way over the top. And some of the other deaths in it were just crazy. Like the vending machine thing was wild, and then the little spiral of the screw. And I mean, you're just over the top now. Now this is just for the porn
it's comedic,
of the gore.
Yeah, it's comedic torture porn almost. And that's kind of where the series was going for a while now. Like the dude who gets stuck in the pool and gets his intestines ripped out through his ass by the vacuum of the pool hole.
Or
the two girls who get trapped in the suntan machines and then
and they
fry.
Just burn to death in there.
Yeah. Those ones are so over the top. They're not. They've gone. It's at the cross the line twice. They've stopped being funny, and they're back to just being kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. I buy that, because in the first movie, touching back on that, when the friend dies and the water follows him and he dies with the clothesline right there, it's a whole little storm of things coming together to kill him like that, and that felt like that shit could almost really happen, when all these other accidents is just the creep of death coming for you and closing something on your door like that, or you making it so you can't get out of the fucking pool, like you said. It's over the top to the point where it's gone from being scary in the first movie to being just...
it's comedy.
It's comedy at this point. Like, my wife couldn't believe I was laughing at it. I'm like, what else can you do at this point?
Yeah.
With a movie like this? Like, you can watch it and be scared and enjoy that, but you can't... if you can't laugh at it, it's just going to be a shit bloody movie that is just like you've seen before.
And it's a tense film. I credit, again, the kills. Some of those kills are so bad that I, like, the build up to them is better than the kill themselves. And there was a couple times where I'm like, I paused and went and did something else. Like, the tension was almost too much. Which, credit, I don't have to do that very often for horror movies. So this one had the horror.
It did.
But
it did.
I don't know if, like, if I went back because everyone dies, if it's going to have the same tension, because now there's no build up anymore. I can go and watch other horror movies again and be scared by the same kills, or scared anyway, like, you know, feel the tension build. But the Final Destination movies lack that because it lacks the substance I need.
It's painting itself into a corner, right? Like, it's gone to the point where there is no going back. It was very uncomfortable in the movie waiting for the scene at the barbecue. Like, who is it going to be? Like, I got a feeling I know who it is because I saw the trailer. Again, stop giving away fucking shit in trailers, people. But, like, I was waiting, like, how is it actually going to happen? And, like, every time I thought it was that, I was wrong. And that's what I enjoy about these movies. I want to be wrong with that tension. And I like what you said about having to pause a little bit, because you're right. Like, there was a couple points where I paused, too, that I was like, I know it's coming, but I need a second.
So.
But this is the only kind of horror movies that I do that for, point, because, you know, with Jason, with Freddy, with Michael Myers, like, you just hold on and you wait. Like, with this, it's just, I know death's plan. I just need a second.
That I agree with you on all of that. I'm going to be Charlie Brown with the football again. I really hope the next time they make another one of these, they decide to let someone live. Will I watch it to see if someone lives? Yes. Will I be disappointed? More than likely.
I mean, we'll see. Maybe that is where they can go from here.
This is how they get us, dude. This is how they get us. They're like, no, the next time we're going to let someone live, we swear.
But maybe this next time is the one.
But maybe. Fool us five times. Okay.
So it goes.
Oh my God. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, desperately running towards that football. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, gonna Rube Goldberg his way into some dinner, I think, right now. So y'all have a good one.
Just don't go to a barbecue.
No barbecue. No.
We will see you all next time.